Hi, Dancer. Jess here.
Welcome to the new and improved podcast from The Whole Dancer. I am so thrilled that you're here, and I hope to give you some insight and inspiration when it comes to finding a more balanced approach to food, your body, dance, and life. Really covering all those bases of what can help you feel whole as you pursue dance. Now, I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast so that you get an alert every single time there's a new episode, and leave a review so that your friends will be more likely to find The Whole Dancer too. Thanks for being here.
Let's get started.
Hi, dancers. Jess here. Welcome back to The Whole Dancer podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about something that, you know, I think sometimes we think our body challenges or experiences in dance are extremely unique. That's how I felt. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was going through things in different ways than my peers. I thought that my body was the problem and other people weren't having the same challenges. I looked at people even with similar body types to my own and imagined that how they felt about their bodies couldn't nearly be as bad as how I felt about my body because my experience had told me my body was bad and wrong and needed to change. So I'm going to start there. Even dancers with the quote-unquote ideal body are impacted by this fact. We have to accept our bodies are going to change. Even if, like I said, as a young dancer, you have what teachers say is the thing you want to have. You have the attributes, you have the physique, you have the muscle definition or lack thereof, right? Whatever it is that your teachers value or say is important or ideal, these things will likely change. And, you know, I've experienced working with dancers where they had this quote unquote ideal, and that fact made them fearful. That made them afraid. If my body changes, I will not be ideal anymore, right? I won't have the desired body. It will be a problem if my body changes. So that can make even young dancers who have, like I said, this quote unquote ideal, struggle with change, struggle with puberty, struggle with the very natural things that should be happening as we go through our teens and as we're in our pre-professional dance training. We think to ourselves, if we have the ideal, my body is what they want, so I can't change. And those of you who don't have perhaps what is quote unquote ideal may struggle because you may start getting body feedback. You may start just comparing your body to those around you or to the bodies of the professional dancers who you follow and admire. And again, even your body will change for better or worse. Let's not say worse. Your body will change. Hopefully you will get stronger if you support it to do that. Some ways our bodies change are, you know, throughout the month. There are monthly hormonal fluctuations and they impact how our bodies feel and how they look. More often how they look to us, you know. So sometimes we go through premenstrual times and we feel bloated or we look bloated and we don't feel great about ourselves and we struggle with those very natural monthly fluctuations and changes. I'm going to get to my point, right? Like this episode is about acceptance and accepting that your body will change and knowing that the changes are natural and healthy and really should be expected. So beyond the natural hormonal fluctuation and how that impacts your body and how it feels and the physical changes and the mental changes due to hormonal changes, right? All of you will go through puberty in your teens, ideally. Sometimes dancers delay puberty because of overexercise and underfueling. But you should be going through puberty, and during that time, your body is supposed to change. It does baffle me. I'm like consistently astounded by the fact that ballet teachers specifically, but dance teachers perhaps in general, seem to forget this fact. I hear from so many dancers that their first body feedback came around puberty, as their body was changing, as they were starting to, you know, develop, as they were starting to grow and perhaps gain some weight. But I don't really understand why teachers seem to forget that your body is supposed to change during this time. If you accept these changes and you allow them, you're going to grow and develop naturally and healthfully, and you'll be able to maintain your energy and your focus and your ability to grow and improve and strengthen. And all of those things should help you. I'll throw in here how important it is to continue to eat healthfully throughout the teen years, especially because that's when you establish your bone density. If you're underfueling during those years, you're going to have issues usually with stress fractures early on and with perhaps bigger things in the future, you know, brittle bones, osteoporosis, bone breaks, etc. But in the present, like I said, injury is a very real risk if you're underfueling specifically during those important teen years. If only ballet teachers and dance teachers in general would acknowledge that. That would help you accept it, I'm sure. But if you are in an experience where a dance teacher is telling you, oh, your body's changing, that's not good, or your body was better before, or you're experiencing changes in casting that feel like they are due to your body change and not your ability, I suggest you look for other places to train. And I know that that can sound extreme, and I know sometimes you might not have other options, but only when we start to make those big changes, when teachers are acting inappropriately and addressing dancers inappropriately and making inappropriate requests or comments, only when we leave those teachers will they perhaps start to reconsider their approach and recognize, oh, my teenage students' bodies are supposed to change. You will not be in a child's body forever. And perhaps, or the fact is, it's not perhaps, it's a fact, you shouldn't be. Your body should be changing. Professional ballerinas should not have bodies of children, right? Women's bodies are what we should be working towards if that is the gender with which you identify. And a child size or childlike body is not something to aspire to maintain forever. Let yourself change. Let it fluctuate. Let yourself grow. Let yourself gain the weight that you need to gain during puberty and these changes. Weight gain during teen years, when you're still growing, it is to be expected. When I was dancing and in my teens, I had the very unfortunate thought process that getting my period meant I was getting fat. And I made that negative association, untrue association, really, right? All it meant was my body was developing exactly as it should. But I made that association. And so when I got my first period, I really scaled back on food. It led to a very disordered pattern. I thought to myself, well, if I delay it, that means I'm on the right track, which is scary to think about. And I also know I'm not alone in that very disordered thinking. But it caused, you know, I was one of those people who then had chronic sprains and stress fractures and challenges with my bone health and strength because I was not giving my body what it needed, specifically at the time when it needed it. And I also, around that time, decided on a number that I thought I should stay under. And I was attached to that number, and I would, you know, when we would, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know if they still do this. We were having our vital signs or something checked in school. I don't think it was just me. I feel like I would know if that was some kind of like alert that they had put on me. But I remember I had to get weighed at school, like in high school. You can tell me if that's weird. It might be totally weird. I'm not sure if they do it anymore. But, you know, I was very aware of the number in those experiences. And anytime it was up or going up or above that ideal number that I had set in my mind, I would change how I was approaching food and it would become restrictive. And so we have to accept that we don't know where the healthiest number on the scale is for each of us. That's a big part of why I suggest that dancers not have scales in their homes. And if you're a parent of a dancer, don't have a scale in your home. If you need one, or like another adult in the house needs a scale for some reason, keep it somewhere where it is out of sight, out of mind, not accessible to your dancer, because the number on the scale should not have any impact on how we eat or how we feel or how we approach things. You want to allow your body to do what it's naturally going to do. That is what will allow you to maintain calm around food. That is what will allow you to focus on the dancing and your growth as a dancer. And that's what is going to allow you to really thrive in your dance pursuits. Beyond the changes that you might go through in your teens, and I've had this conversation with others in the dance world, so I know I'm not alone, there is sometimes like a second puberty for dancers in your 20s. And again, this may be because maybe you weren't getting exactly what you needed during your pre-professional teen years. And that may not be at any fault of your own. It may not even mean that you were being intentionally restrictive, but perhaps inadvertently you were underfueling, so your body didn't get to its full expression of adulthood, and that might come later. It might come in your 20s. So be prepared for body change to come at various points, not only in your teens and 20s, but throughout your life. You know, I'll always mention that if you feel like your body is going through extreme changes, you know, you feel as if you've gained a significant amount of weight in a short period of time or lost, always consult with a doctor. And be really honest with yourself and them about how you're approaching food and movement to make sure that you're able to get an accurate assessment and accurate support. And, you know, if you're unsure of what kind of support you might need, you can always reach out to me. I always say, you know, my goal is to support dancers within my specific scope of practice as a health, nutrition, and lifestyle coach. But if I speak to a dancer and I know she needs or they need help outside of what I do, I will refer you to the person who I know can help you, or I'll give you ideas of what sort of practitioner might be able to help. But ultimately, we've got to work towards focusing on our health and our strength and our energy and our ability to do our best dancing, and know that the smallest body does not yield the best dancing. Sometimes we look around the room, we see the smallest body in the room, maybe they're getting more attention than others, or in our mind, they seem to be getting more attention than others. And it's very easy then to compare yourself and say, oh my goodness, well, if my body were smaller, then I would get more attention. Let's try to shift that thought process to, as I work harder, as I focus on my own dancing, as I, you know, feel really empowered to take the steps technically and artistically that I need to take forward, that's when I'll be acknowledged. And I'll throw in here that if you feel like you're taking those steps forward, you're focused on your dancing, and you're not seeing the growth, or, you know, we shouldn't be working towards recognition, but if you feel like, oh, I'm working so hard and I'm improving and I feel like I'm not getting cast because they're only casting smaller bodies, maybe it's not the right place. You might not be in the right place to train. You might not be at the right company if you're dancing professionally already. And it might just mean you have to look elsewhere, which I know can be scary. But I have now had countless clients who were in companies that were clearly problematic, where they were getting consistent or constant body feedback, negative body feedback. And then they went and danced elsewhere, and all of a sudden, there was no body feedback. And usually it takes quite a bit of time to believe that the new place is actually okay with your body as it is. But once you get there and you realize that it is, it can be an amazing game-changing experience. What is an empowering goal around your body? I want you to ask yourself that. When I work with dancers, we don't make aesthetically focused goals. And sometimes dancers come to me with aesthetically focused goals, and I totally get it, because dance is an aesthetic art form and the aesthetic pressure exists. I understand. I'm never going to pretend that it's not real. But if you make an aesthetically focused goal and that's all it's about, it tends to be something that can take you down a very self-destructive path. Whereas if you make a goal around how you want to feel in your body, how you want to feel in your dancing, how you want to improve or what you'd like to achieve as a dancer, that is going to help you find a balanced approach to your body. And that is when you'll be able to achieve and attain your personal best body, which is unique to you, has nothing to do with what anyone else's best or personal, you know, healthiest body is. It's about you. So think about an empowering goal around your body. If you ever want to send me an email and say, hey, Jess, is this an empowering goal around my body? And just list your goal out. I'll let you know if I think it is, or I'll suggest some changes. Or you can hop on a free coaching call with me and we can talk through it and I'll help you craft an empowering goal. But that's really important. In the world of accepting and self-loving and supportive shifts and changes, you have to come up with a supportive and empowering goal. An acceptance mantra. Something you can say to yourself if you're struggling with the fact that your body changes and fluctuates throughout the month or from year to year or going through puberty or second puberty. An acceptance mantra might be something like, I accept my body in all its forms. I can accept change. We're all resistant to change, so that's kind of a tall order, but I can accept change, right? I can adapt to change. Think about the ways you'll talk to yourself in order to feel good in the fluctuations that your body does go through naturally from month to month, week to week, month to month, year to year. Food. Eating through body changes. I've had a client recently who was coming back from a surgery and, you know, weeks without dancing. And that can be some of the hardest time. She is in a good place with food where she knows, even if I'm not dancing as much, I have to keep eating consistently because that's what's going to help my body to rebuild and repair and come back from this injury stronger. So you have to eat enough through the body changes. As your body is, you know, changing through puberty, you have to eat enough to allow it to grow. You don't want to stunt your growth by underfueling. You want to make sure that you're adequately fueling so that you can reach the full potential of height that you might, you know, get to. Eat through the body changes. Push through it. Stay consistent. Consistent eating is going to help you do more consistent dancing. When you're getting stuck in body and comparison, focus on your strengths. What are your strengths as a dancer? What are your strengths as a person? Mental strengths, physical strengths. You know, things you feel good in when you're dancing. When you look around at your peers, rather than focusing on the size of someone's bodies and saying, oh, I admire her because she's got this ideal body, find inspiration in their dancing instead. And find inspiration in the dancing of everybody in the room, all the different bodies that you encounter. What can you look at? What can you see in them? What can you find beauty in? The more we find beauty in those around us, the easier it is to find beauty in ourselves. That's where I'm going to leave you for today. Acceptance, your body will change. Find beauty in those around you, and you will have an easier time finding it in yourself. Until next time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Give the episode, give the podcast a rating. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you get the alerts when new episodes come out. And like I said, until next time, if you ever have a suggestion or a topic you'd like me to cover, reach out. Have a great rest of your week, dancer. I will be in touch.